Okay, welcome. My name is Divine. This is episode 152 of the Divine Intervention Life Lessons podcast. In today's podcast, I'm going to be discussing the topic, why do we go through trials? Why do we go through trials? My anchor scripture is going to be taken from the book of James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. James 1, verses 2 to 4. It says, and I read, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." I'm going to read it again. "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." May the Lord bless the reading of His word in our hearts. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So, the topic again is, why do we go through trials? And this is one part of the Christian walk that many people have not come to grips with. Many people are kind of very angry with it. They're like, if God loves me so much, why will God make me go through trials? Why will God make me deal with all these troubles? Well, there are certain specific reasons for it. The very first reason, and what may sound as the most bizarre to you, is that you go through these trials because God loves you. God loves you. The thing is, you can understand many aspects of our relationship with God if you think of it from the perspective of a parent with their child. Or you think of it as a coach with a player under them that they know has a lot of promise, has a lot of talent. So, what's the lesson there? Any parent that truly loves their child, they will discipline them. They will put them through trials. Because if you don't discipline a child, then that child will very likely not turn out well. That is just the truth. Even the Bible says that Jesus Christ learned obedience through His sufferings. So, when you see a parent and the way they relate with their kids, and you see them, wow, this parent is really disciplining their child, really making sure that their child has to work for things and everything like that, it's because they love that child. They want that child to have a bright future. Let me tell you this. If you are not disciplining your kids because you're like, oh, I don't want to make them mad, I don't want to make them angry, you hate your kids. In trying to strike a friendship with them in the short term, you're literally destroying their future and their destiny long term. So the way you show that you love a person is by disciplining them. I'm not saying you should never show love outside of discipline, but discipline is a component of love. The Bible says that he who the Lord disciplines, he loves. He chastises a son in whom he delights. It's just like a coach. If a coach sees that, man, this person has promise, they love this person, they're like, I want this person to succeed, they will go the extra mile and really push that person to their breaking points, push them to their limits, because they want to draw the best from them. So that's literally the number one reason why God disciplines us. In fact, let me tell you this. If you notice that, wow, you're doing things and there's no more discipline, then God, the Spirit of God may have departed from you. God may have just said, you know what, I'm just going to abandon this person. Kind of like how Saul was abandoned. So, you don't want to be abandoned by God. So one of the ways that God shows you He loves you is that He disciplines you. The second thing I also want to say is the fact that you're being disciplined by God does not mean that God hates you. The fact that you're being disciplined by God does not mean you've done anything wrong. Discipline doesn't always mean the presence of wrong. Discipline just many times means an opportunity for growth. In fact, that's the second big point that I'm going to kind of weave in. Why do we get disciplined? Why do we go through trials? The very first thing is, like I said, because God loves us. But But the second thing is because it's an opportunity for growth. When you go through a tough circumstance and you overcome it, then you have literally just grown in that area. Think about it. You become more comfortable in certain challenging circumstances because you have just dealt with those challenging circumstances before. That's the truth. So you're literally accumulating a bank of experiences when you successfully navigate a challenge, when you successfully navigate a trial, when you successfully navigate some kind of trouble in your life. But again, it's really hard to grow where there are no trials, where there is no discipline. Like if you see a child, you see certain 10-year-olds, 12-year-olds, 15-year-olds, they're so childish, so very poorly behaved. They've not grown to the level of their age. Why? Because there has never been discipline around. There's never been some kind of trial. Think about it. Like I like to give this example of, you know, my time in Nigeria when I was attending high school. The place I went to school in Nigeria, we usually did not get any kind of syllabus. So many of our tests were completely impromptu. So because I knew that our tests were impromptu, and sometimes a test can be like 20-30% of your grade, a test that you're not even expecting, it taught me the importance of studying every single day. Every single day. Just do all the studying that I could. So because of that trial of not knowing when an exam was going to come due, it made me grow a lot as an individual. It taught me how to be responsible because basically I had to take responsibility for my grades at that point because I was like, you know what? Your exams could come in any time. And if you don't do well, right? So it provided some opportunity for growth. So I'm telling you this, without a trial, without a trouble, without a disciplinary event, it's really hard to grow as an individual. Now, what is the third reason why we go through trials? We go through trials because it serves as a form of self-assessment. It serves as a form of self-assessment. I'm telling you this, you can never know what you're made of until you go through a trial, until you go through a trouble. You don't know what your endurance capability looks like when you have not gone through a trial. Think about it, for example, when everything is good in a marriage, everyone is doing well, there's no trial, there's no problem, there's no trouble. Then it's very easy to say, oh, honey, I love you. Hubby, I love you. Everyone loves each other. But when a trial comes, that's where you know, like, is this a strong marriage or is this a weak marriage? Is this person's relationship with God good or is this person's relationship with God not really great? You know it when you're going through a trial. Think about it. It's easy to obey God. It's easy to fear God. It's easy to love God when everything is going well. But when you face a Red Sea or you face a wilderness kind of experience, that's when the true content of your heart comes out. And the thing is, any true child of God goes through this at some point in their life or at some point, multiple points during their lives, right? Like I remember there's this show that I love to watch with my wife called The Amazing Race. And you see a husband and wife, when they win a challenge, they come first. They're so loving to each other. They're like, oh, I love you. You're my bedrock. You're this, you're that, you're this, you're that. Okay. And then put them in a challenging task where it's frustrating. And you see them, they begin to yell out their spouses. They begin to treat their spouses like trash, right? That character, you will never have seen it if they did not go through that challenging circumstance. So I'm telling you, like, you want to know what you're made of? Go through trial. Go through trouble. Go through discipline. Go through a wilderness-like event. It will tell you exactly who you are. And the thing is, sometimes God makes us go through those events so that we ourselves can come to the realization of where we need to make improvements. Because think about it. That's the thing that bothers me so much with educational systems that have no form of testing, where they just want, or the fact that you show up to be the reason why you pass or whatever. The thing is, there's just something fundamentally wrong with that method of thinking. Because if you don't test people or assess them in some way, shape or form, rigorously, then how do you know where they are? How can you fairly judge, oh, this is where this person is? And then they get into something and they are not prepared for it because they've not been properly assessed all the way through. So you need to make sure that you undergo proper self-assessment, and trials are a very good way to go through self-assessment. Although, to be honest with you, I would not wait till you encounter a trial to assess yourself and say, let me make a change. No, start assessing yourself on your own. Sit down and ask yourself, what are areas of my life where I know I'm falling short? Because I'm telling you, if Jesus were to come today and you have areas of your life that you have not surrendered to him. Because you see, many people, they give their lives to Christ, but then there are certain select areas of their lives where they're like, no, God, sorry, I can't stop this. This is not me. No, you can't do that. If Jesus comes and you are still practicing sin in that area of your life, then you will not go to heaven. That's just the truth. That's just the truth. So I'm encouraging you today, like when you go through trials and also just on your own, it's very good as a child of God, assess yourself, examine yourself. The Bible says, let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Always check your life, because there are probably areas where you know that, man, I need to do better in this area. Look at the Bible says, the prince of this world is the devil. The prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. Those are words of a person that has assessed themselves. They've checked their lives and said, you know what? I feel like I'm on good ground. I know that there's nothing in my life, right? So you want to be like a prophet Daniel. Daniel, they could literally find nothing wrong with him. They could find no occasion for fault or issue with him. Because you could tell that that was a person that checked the content of his life and made sure he was doing things as he should have done them. So you want to make sure that your life is an excellent life. Again, people may say, Divine, this is an impossible standard. It's not. The Bible says, be ye perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. If God sees that you're trying, God will help you. When God sees your heart that you are truly willing, the Bible says if you are willing and obedient, if God sees that you are willing in your heart, he'll supply the grace, he'll supply the strength. But I'm telling you, sometimes these trials are just great, great ways to show you, okay, what am I truly made of? And then what's the final reason I'm going to enumerate today as to why we go through trials? We go through trials as preparation for the future. We go through trials as preparation for the future. If you don't go through certain trials, when the future comes, you may not be ready for it. That is just the truth. When the future comes, you will not be ready for it. But when you've gone through certain trials, when you've gone through certain challenges, and you overcome them, you learn the lesson from them, then I'm telling you, many times, it prepares you for bigger challenges that may arise in the future. That is just the truth. And for example, I just like to use, again, because I know many people in medicine listen to this podcast, going through the rigor of handling pre-medical coursework, it kind of prepared me, at least mentally, for the rigor of what med school work will look like. And then going through the rigor of med school work kind of prepared me for the rigor of what dealing with challenges as a resident or as a physician will look like. So the thing is, when you've not gone through certain trials, we've not gone through certain challenges, then you are not prepared for what lies ahead. That's the truth. Like, for example, look at Joseph. Many people may look at Joseph's life and say, Joseph, man, God just must really tortured him. He suffered this, he suffered that. But no, all those things he went through was prep. Because think about it, if you don't know how to manage a household or a group of people like a prison, how are you going to manage a whole country? So all those trials he was going through, those were really management classes. They were cloaked as trials, but they were really management classes. You know, Joseph became because if you think about it, Joseph did not start off as a person that was completely responsible. That's the truth. Go back and check his life. Joseph, his brothers will be working. He'll be staying at home. Why should he be staying at home and his brothers are out in the field working? That's why his dad will regularly send him, Joseph, go and check on your brothers. Why couldn't he be there with them, working hard, tilling the ground, doing what needs to be done? But after he went through all those trials and challenges of the land of Egypt, in Potiphar's house, he learned, okay, he became good at managing a household. And then over time, you know, he was thrown into prison for something that he did not do wrong. But when he was in prison, he managed that prison well. That was a bigger responsibility. That was a bigger trial. That was a bigger challenge. You know, being in Potiphar's house was not ideal, but at least he was not in prison. But then he went into the prison. That was a tough proving ground. But in that tough proving ground, he learned management skills. That's why the guard of the prison put him in charge of all the prisoners. But then after that, he then was able to manage a whole country. He was able to manage that crisis. If he didn't manage the crisis, the food crisis in the land of Egypt, if he did not manage it, I'm telling you, many people would have gone hungry. Many people would have died from famine. But deceived, right? All those management skills he learned as he went through different trials and different challenges in the land of Egypt. So are you going through a trial? Are you going through a challenge? God is literally just preparing you for the future. God is preparing you for the future that lies ahead, because within trials, within challenges, there is a lesson there. And those lessons are takeaways that can really help your future. So as I wrap up this podcast, I want to offer you an opportunity to surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're listening to this podcast and you know that you don't have a relationship with God, again, you need to have that relationship. Jesus Christ can make a big, solid difference in your life. He came to this world. He shed his blood on the cross. He died to set you free. So if you want to surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ today, I want you to say this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I confess that I'm a sinner and I need your forgiveness. Have mercy upon me. Save my soul. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me clean in your blood. I believe you died on the cross to set me free. Come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Write my name in the book of life. Give me a brand new beginning. Sanctify me with your blood. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And give me the grace to do your will all the days of my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Father, I pray for everyone that has surrendered their lives to you. I pray, Lord, that you please give them the grace to honor you, to please you, and to serve you in everything that they do. In the name of Jesus, help them not to go back into the world, but help them to be beacons of righteousness everywhere they go. Help them, Lord, to endure that discipline, to endure those challenges. Because your word says that when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Lord, not just them, but also those of us that have given our lives to you, that are listening to this podcast, including myself. Help us, Lord, to endure. Help us to endure trials. Help us to endure temptations. Help us to endure challenges. Let us be well prepared for the future of eternity with you in heaven. Let us, Lord, learn those lessons. Give us the grace to assess ourselves regularly. Your word says, let every man examine himself. Help us to examine ourselves. Help us, Lord, to do your will. Help us to endure these challenges. Help us not to throw in the towel and say, because I'm going through this challenge, it means God has abandoned me. No, we're going through these challenges because he's showing that you love us. So help us, Lord, to go through these challenges with grace. And let us come out on the other end as pure gold that has been refined by the fire. To your glory, to your honor, and to your praise. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness. For in Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Now, for those that have surrendered their lives to the Lord, I would encourage you to do three things. One, find a Bible. Find a translation you understand. I love the New Living Translation. Follow a Bible reading plan. But as you're reading the Bible, read it and do what it says, and you'll see your life take a turn for the better. You can start in the book of John. It will tell you all about the love of God. But read the Bible every day and apply that discipline of doing what it actually says. That's one. Number two, listen to episodes 96 to 101 on the website. It's a series titled The 5 Basic Responsibilities of a Believer. It will teach you specific things you need to do so that you can grow in your walk with God. And then number three, find a Bible-believing church. Notice I did not say find a church. I said find a Bible-believing church. There are many places that call themselves churches, but they don't preach the true word of God. They preach things that are inconsistent with the word. They preach things that are false doctrine in light of the word. They're like, oh no, so that we can adapt to the world, let's twist the word around. No, that is not a place you want to be. I attend the Redeemed Christian Church of God. It's a church that has many parishes all over the world. But there are also many wonderful churches around the world. But just make sure you go to a place where the true, pure, undiluted word of God is preached. Fellowship with other believers. Read what the word of God says. Practice what the word of God says. And as you do that, you'll see your life take a turn for the better. Thank you for joining me today. Until next time, have a wonderful weekend. God bless you. Shalom.